Hi, welcome to the Audio Engineers podcast with me, Streaky, and
me, Shay.
And today we're discussing mindset. So this is number 16?
16.
And we're discussing mindset. So when we say mindset, what we mean is, I think, is professionalism.
Mm-hmm. Being prepared.
Yeah, being prepared for the session so you get in there early. And I would say also it's like getting enough sleep the night before.
Mm-hmm.
Is that weird?
No, it's not weird.
If you've got a big session on, getting ready for the session the night before so you know what's happening. Say they're coming in at 10 o'clock. So you need to get a good night's sleep because otherwise your ears are going to be too tired to start working. You've got a long session ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be as sharp and as on the ball as you would be if you didn't get to bed till like 2-3 o'clock.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people just take it for granted that they can just stroll up to the studio, turn everything on and off they go.
Yeah. I mean, I've never been not prepared for something. And I think it might just be my own insecurities for it, but I don't actively think, oh, I better be there on time or I better be there early. It's just something that I feel like I have to do. Like if I'm, say I'll be there at, say, 10 o'clock, it's supposed to start. I'm there at 9:30 latest because I want to make sure that everything's going to run smoothly. Everything's going to be how it should be. The second the people turn up, we can start working. It's not like they turn up and I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll be there in 2 minutes. And then I go and I've got to turn everything on and I've got to make sure, do all the checks and everything like that. It's you want to, being prepared is like the main thing. So, you know, then the session's going to run nice and smooth if you're prepared for it.
It just gets embarrassing, doesn't it? If you're not ready, then it's like when I've run into sessions late and they're already waiting for me when it has happened. It's just a nightmare because you're on the back foot from the start.
Yeah. You just feel unprofessional straight away. You're just like, you think that they think, what's this geezer playing at? It must be really important to him because he's late.
Oh, exactly. Because if you had a massive artist in, would you be late?
No. Of course
you
would. Exactly.
So, So you're right. It's like, I think that comes across to the artist is like, this guy doesn't care less. So then obviously it affects their session as well as yours. So the whole thing's kind of getting compromised all the way through, isn't it?
Yeah. And like making sure that you're enthusiastic about what's going to be happening. Not like strolling in like, oh, all right, should we start? Do you know what I mean? Like you want to be really enthusiastic about it. So take 15, 20 minutes beforehand, have a cup of coffee or have a Red Bull or something. So you're really enthusiastic. And then the people that come in think, well, all right.
Yeah, they're buzzed up.
Yeah.
You're buzzed up because you've had loads of Red Bull.
Yeah.
But also like making sure it's like the mindset thing is of being professional is just about making sure your equipment's up to scratch, making sure the room's nice and tidy.
Exactly.
Making sure that everything looks in its place, everything's neat, that they've got a tea or a coffee when they come in.
Mm-hmm.
There's someone sorting them out with things. So they up their game as well. So that even if you could be in the worst part of town, but when they come in your room, it's ultra swish. There's not crap lying around everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, they then up their game because then they're going to treat you with more professionalism.
Yeah, exactly. And anything that comes along or any sort of request for anything, you know where it's going to be straight away because you've spent the time beforehand preparing it all rather than they say, let's say, oh, can we use this bit? Like, can we use this EQ? Oh, it's not plugged in, mate. Like, oh, great. Why isn't it plugged in? Like, just plug it in. Like, make sure everything's ready. Make sure everything's on just in case you need to use it or just in case something may come up because you know guaranteed the one time that you don't do it, the person that comes in will say, oh, look at that. Like, can we put that on? Oh, no, sorry, mate. I couldn't be bothered. I got in nice and late, so I couldn't be bothered to turn it on for you.
Yeah, it's broken.
Yeah, broken. I couldn't be bothered to fix it from last year.
But it was broken the last time I came. Yeah, I know. Still broken. I know. I've had to recently hoover out the back of the studio at Metropolis because it was probably 10 years worth of green under the countertop.
Under the table, yeah.
And it's just been driving me mental because I'm so fanatical on keeping things clean and tidy and neat.
Yeah. I remember you trying to lift the glass up and it was like weighed a ton.
Yeah, it did. But I took the whole thing apart one day.
Really?
Got an assistant to bring a Hoover up and hippie who shares the room with me, who I think is the main culprit, hence hippie, for putting loads of gear under there, was devastated when he saw that I'd cleaned
out. I'm sure. That's quite a few years of accumulation.
Yeah, he was like loving the rock and rollness of it and all that. But unfortunately, I'm just not that sort of engineer. I don't get on with lava lamps in the room and a dead plant and all that.
See, that's a good thing to point out. That's another thing. When I first started out, depending on who you were recording and stuff, like, I was dead against things like drugs in the studio or drinking in the studio. Whereas a lot of people, they don't mind it. It's one of those things that it's done. But I don't know. I find that, I once got asked, could they book a session? Yeah, no problem. Can we have a weed session? They called it. I was like, well, what's that? And they're like, well, just so we can smoke weed and like maybe bring a couple of girls and some drink. Like, no. I was like, no. No, I just said at the time, no, it's not that sort of place, mate, I'm afraid. Like, if you want to come and record some music and make some music, that's fine. But do all that stuff when you're finished, it's fine. But then they never ended up coming because to them, that was really important part of the session.
Yeah, it's a recreational session
Which I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in that. Now, don't get me wrong. A lot of people I know are very serious and smoke weed in a session. That's fine. But for me, I don't know. I think it might just be a personal thing. Like, I couldn't smoke weed and work properly.
Well, I've done it. I've tried it.
Yeah, so have I. And it doesn't work.
I tried it once. Like, and this was before computers.
Yeah, oh, okay.
I had two tape machines, one at the back. And they had to line up with each other on time code. Yeah, so it was a mission anyway. And then you EQ'd in between it and then recorded it onto the other tape.
Yeah.
And so they had to lock up and all this throughout the day.
Yeah.
So I thought, I was quite young at this point. So I thought, get in the studio vibe. I'm in rock and roll. So I was smoking with them. And we'd done about 11 hours of recording and EQing everything. And you had to commit to tape. You couldn't listen to it back.
Mm-hmm.
And when we learned to listen to it back at the end, I hadn't pressed record on the other tape machine. I'd been having it in preview mode. So I hadn't recorded the whole day's session because I was stoned out of my mind. And that was to being professional. The bloke was just looking at me as if to say, you absolute bellend. Yeah. That was the first and last time. There was just no way I could do it again. But also, I hate to think how it would have sounded.
Yeah,
because I wasn't used to smoking. I mean, Kevin, who I used to work with, who's an old boy now, he smokes all day long.
Yeah,
gear all day long.
Yeah.
There's just no way I could work in that situation. I just do my head in. He can't work without it. He's then gone the other way, where it's
needed. It's
that he's used to. If you go out, I don't even think it's very professional to go out for a few beers
at lunch
time.
Yeah, exactly. I'm the same. Like, where I used to work at a place and they're like, oh, we're going to the pub at lunch, just have a couple. It's like, yeah, but when we get back, I've got to like chop up vocals for five hours. Like, no way.
You've got no chance of work. I cannot work again after I've had a couple of pints.
Yeah.
It's a nightmare. You can't, you can't be bothered because you'd rather be at the pub having
more beers. Yeah.
And then, and B, you just can't hear anything because you're just not in the critical. You can't listen at all. There's no top end. It's just weird.
I think as well, like, if you're the engineer and then you do the same thing that the clients are doing, it doesn't put you in that sort of power sort of position. I know it might sound weird to say it, but it doesn't put you, there's no line anymore.
No, exactly. It's like, when it's similar to parenting, right, in a way, where you've got to be in charge of the session.
Yeah.
In the same way you've got to be in charge of the kid. You can't be your kid's mates all the time.
Exactly. Yeah. You've got to put your foot down at some point.
You've got to be the parent and say what's right and what's wrong. And in the same way in a session, you have to lead the session and you have to say, this is what we're doing, this is where we're going. They might be absolutely trousered at the back of the room.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter to you because you've got to get this job done. Mm-hmm. You've got to get it done in the time frame that they've got. And you've got to get the most out of them if you're recording them. But if it's yourself, you've got to try and guide them to what is the best sound for their music. And then you can't do that if you're part of the gang.
Yeah, exactly.
Part of the session, as in, like, let's all drink loads and smoke loads.
Mm.
I just don't know how that works, that for me anyway.
Yeah, it's not something that I've ever been that I liked to do. It was something that I did when I was a lot younger, just starting out, and it was people that were coming over, and it was like just a done thing. But then the more, I think the more work you do for people and the higher up you go sort of on the ladder, it's
Yeah.
just it's not
It's not.
professional.
No,
Do you know
it's
what I mean?
not.
You know that you're not going to give it your best because you're not going to be at your best. You're going to have a laugh, fair enough, but you're not there to have a laugh. You can have a laugh afterwards. Once it's all recorded and done, sweet,
That's
we'll go
right.
out. But no, like when you've booked 4 hours, let's work for 4 hours. After that, whatever you want to do, it's fine. But again,
I think
that's down to being prepared. Like,
creative point of view, it helps. If you're actually involved in the writing stage in a studio, if you're, you know, if you're helping them with getting ideas together, if you're helping facilitate that, not just from a technical point of view, because that becomes a little bit more tricky, but from a kind of, say you were working with, for example, like adding delays to their stuff and things like that, sort of get you in the mood of it to understand where they're coming from, and then I think that works
Yeah,
if
I mean,
you're.
creativity wise, yeah, I can understand that. But I mean, it's what role you're going to be playing. Like, if you're playing the producer role and you're producing with a guy like a friend of yours that you've known for 15 years that you used to get on it back in the day and you used to have a bit of a laugh, then being prepared for the session isn't really that important as much as it is if it's a new client. Someone that's coming in, you don't know what sort of who they're going to be. You want to come
Yeah.
off, you want to come across as professional as you can and do the best possible work. But yeah, I mean, if it's someone that you've known for a while and it's just a production session, not like a mastering session for a new client, you've got to be complete. You've got to think about it, have a completely different mindset for it.
Well, mastering session for any client, I wouldn't do it because I think that you've only got a certain amount of time. You've got to have super clinical ear. You've got to be ready to go, and you've got to be able to turn it around for them as fast and with the best sound you can get.
I mean, there's a few people near me that I know do whatever they want in the studio, basically. It's like it's a laugh. It's a day out, or it's an evening out.
Yeah,
It's not
because they've got a
treated.
job, because they've probably got another job doing something else, so it's not
Or
their
no
priority.
job at all. And that's
Yeah.
yeah. And people that get paid in substances rather than money. It's like just no.
Yeah, I don't try and not deal with those
Yeah,
sort of
exactly.
things.
Exactly. Yeah.
But you've another point would be a confidence thing when it comes to mindset. Your confidence as an engineer. Now, I've always thought that I'm the best mastering engineer in the world.
Of course,
And
why not?
I thought that from the day that I started. And that's nothing to do with me being a big head or thinking anything, but it never crossed my mind that I wouldn't be. And I think that makes a massive difference to your mindset in your career, as in when you build your career and having that confidence and that not care, you don't care less what people think because you believe in yourself so much and you're not bothered. So if somebody says something, like obviously I'm not, but I in my back of my mind I
You are, yeah, you are. That's fine.
exactly, but you know, but I think that really helps to have that attitude, that mindset,
Of course.
because it takes you further than thinking, oh well, I can't go and work with that client, or I can't do that because I'm not that good yet, or I'm not good enough. I've never thought like that, even from when I very first started.
Yeah, I don't think you can think like that, especially if you want it to be like your career, if you want it to be your day in, day out job, you have to think like that.
Yeah, but I
And
think there's a lot of people who don't have the confidence, in the same way that they haven't got the confidence to price themselves correctly because they don't believe in themselves enough, because they think that they're at a lower level than the people that are at the top level.
Well, I think the only way that you're not don't have that mindset is if you're not prepared for it. If you're prepared for something, there's no excuse why you shouldn't be confident in it. Like if you know your craft well, you know your equipment well, you know that you can do
Even when I'm not bigging myself, I'm trying not to big myself up here.
it.
But even when I first started and I had an EQ, right, a digital EQ, a pair of really naff speakers, didn't know a thing. I was still doing. That was when I sort of did the first album that I did. Commercial album was like Groove Armada's first album, which was ended up being quite a big album. But I didn't know what I was doing. I did not have a clue. But in my mind, I was brilliant.
You're the top mastering engineer,
Yeah,
mate.
yeah.
Yeah, so
Now,
there
that's not arrogance
you
because I didn't have anything to be arrogant about. But it's just the fact that, and I've never been like this in any other area of my life, but it's just a kind of I think that's helped me a great deal.
Helps to get you the work as well, because you're confident enough to approach the people for it, and you're confident enough to say yes straight away. Yeah, yes,
I'd never had a problem with that,
yeah.
And I never had a problem then sitting in a studio with the massive artists, because yeah. I always felt quite confident in myself.
Yeah,
and I think people need to have that mindset if they mm-hmm. want to move forward in not just mastering but any job really. I think yeah. it's like having that confidence to just go, well, I don't really care what you think. I think I'm really good, yeah. and I'm going to try and show you. And yeah. then I think through that, you then learn a lot more.
Yeah, you having the front, like for me, being in a room with people that were sort of like considered at the time like A-list people, being yeah. there and just having, obviously in the back of your mind, you're thinking, oh, like.
Yeah, oh, God, of course. Yeah, But still thinking, oh, my God, it's such and such.
Exactly. Thing. Yeah, but then you think again, yeah, but they've asked you to do this. They've got the confidence in you to do this. You know that you can do this. It's fine. And then straight away, once that takes over, it's fine. They're anyone. And you are the power person in the room. If anything goes wrong, it's your fault. But if anything goes right, it's also because of you.
Yeah, that's only your brain taking over, though, and yeah. going, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, yeah. my God. Like it's trying to protect you because it thinks that you're smaller. But as soon as you actually overcome that,
yeah.
you're
fine. Think you're there for a reason. They've asked you to do this.
Yeah.
This is why you're here.
Also, if you don't, then at that point, when you're working with somebody at that level, if you show at all that you're not confident, you're never working with that person again.
Of course, yeah.
Because they're just going to look at you and think, he was scared. He was out of his depth.
Yeah.
He's not used to this. Well, if he's not used to it, I want to go to the best person. I don't just want to go to the boy who's scared.
Mm-hmm.
I would, you know, and I think sometimes it's a real advantage when you're young and you're a little bit naive and you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because I think that if you can have the confidence at that point, then you're going to go much further, because if you're confident when you don't know what you're doing, when you do know what you're doing, you're going to be great.
Yeah, you'll be it's flying.
Going to really help you. Yeah. Apart from then you sort of know when you're lying, and then you get a little bit scared when someone tries to suss you out when they're asking you in-depth questions about compressors.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I've got to the point now where I don't really care what yeah. somebody, if somebody tries to out-tech me.
Yeah.
Who cares?
And I get it all the time at work from teaching like the students. Yeah. Like they'll always ask me a question. And when I first started, I thought I needed to know everything.
Everything.
And if they asked me a question and I didn't know, it would like fluster me for a bit, and I'd be like, oh, well, I think it could be, and then I'd have to like slyly Google it and then slyly research it and then get back
to
it.
Just need to go to the toilet.
Yeah. Whereas now you don't have to know everything. Do you know what I mean? I know what I know. That's fine. And then yeah. they'll still try. The odd few would say like, oh, well, what about this one? Or I say something, they'll go, I disagree. Fine. It's fine. Don't worry
yeah,
about
yeah.
it.
It's and also fun. That's the only way that you're going to learn. You cannot learn everything. So they'd say, I disagree. And you'd say, okay, well, what's your point of view?
Yeah.
So then you try and understand where they're coming from, and yeah. then you're in a position to be either say to them, well, no, you're looking at it from the wrong way, or, you know, this is how it should be, yeah. or this is how I've seen in my experience, mm. or they might teach you something new, and you should never be up yourself enough to not be able to take on new information.
Of course, like that, you'll never, that. I mean, music is such a big thing, and audio is such a big thing. You will never know everything about it. There will always be someone else with a different opinion, or yep. a different study that's been done that you don't know of yet. So, yeah, I mean, now I think it's made me a much better teacher just by understanding and like accepting the fact that I don't know everything.
Yeah, and being open.
Yeah, being open to the fact of it and asking them, okay, I don't know, do you know? And if they know, perfect. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It makes them feel good about it, and it gives them a push.
I think sometimes, though, a lot of people need to watch who they're getting their information from a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Because there's... a lot of people come into the studio and tell me things that is so over the top, but it's been spread around on the internet so much by amateur, say for instance, amateur mastering engineers,
yeah.
that what about this, that, and the other? And it's like, well, no major mastering engineer even considers that.
Yeah.
For a good example, reverb, right?
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know one mastering engineer I've ever worked with, right? And someone might say in the comments that I'm an idiot,
yeah.
but I don't know one at any level that I've ever worked close to or heard of or seen or anything I've ever done where they use reverb in mastering.
Never. I know. Yeah, I've had this conversation before with people.
But loads of people like who will get information from websites where they don't, the people haven't mastered anything in their lives.
Yeah.
Suddenly say, yeah, well, you've got to have reverb, it'll fill the sound up and it'll put. It's like, really?
Yeah, because that TC limiter's got a reverb in it. You must use reverb in mastering.
Yeah.
Ozone's got a reverb on it. You must use it. No, just no.
No, don't bother. No. But the thing is, I think that's why it's important where you get your information from.
Yeah.
There's a lot of information out there, but you need to go to, and I'm not just saying this from a promo point of view, but I am, because you should listen to me when it comes to mastering. But you should be listening to the top mix engineers. You should be listening to the guys that have actually done things in the world to get your information, because they're going to give you so many more shortcuts than anybody else that's adding things in just because they've heard it somewhere else, regurgitated it, and it's just a load of rubbish.
Yeah. I've had that conversation so many times with people, like students, like, oh, do you ever use reverb in mastering? No. Why? Well, because no. No, there's no need. I've never thought of the need for it.
Yeah, it's just annoying. I mean, I'm sure there'll be mastering engineers saying, yes, you should. Okay, well, we got to wrap this up because Shay hasn't been prepared and had the wrong mindset before he came on to the Skype chat.
And left the charger the other side of the room.
Showing his total professionalism at this point.
Oh, yes.
And I can say all this because he's not in the same room as me, because he's twice the size of me these days from pushing too many heavy weights.
Oh, yes.
But, okay, so thanks for listening. Please keep watching, subscribing, commenting. Comments are really good because it gives us other things to talk about, lets us into the minds of how people are thinking so that we can answer questions and hopefully help some more people get better at mixing and mastering. So, bye.
Bye.